Have you ever wondered if you could live forever, or if science could potentially say double the human lifespan? Our special guest today has not only spent his entire career thinking about these questions, he believes the answer is a resounding yes. Peter Fedichev is a theoretical physicist. He's also the founder and CEO of a biotech company called Gero. Their mission is to hack aging and cure the root causes of chronic disease. You're watching Global One Media Stocks to Watch. I'm Michael Suido. Peter, you're on the sidelines today at the Vida Dal conference in Dubai. Thank you for making time to speak with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Now, the oldest known person alive is a Spanish woman named Maria Brañas Morera. She was born in 1907, and that makes her 117 years old. If we look to the Guinness World Records for longevity, that belonged to a French woman who died in 1997 at the age of 122. We're going to dive more into the details of your company's research in a moment, but first tell us briefly, why do you believe that it might be possible for people watching this video to live to the age of 200 or even 300 years old?
Well, first of all, people are living longer, historically, longer and longer. Over the last 150 years, people essentially doubled their average lifespan. This, of course, happened due to sanitation and antibiotics and the reduction of risk of violent death. We are living in the best of times right now. But that also tells you that human lifespan is malleable. You can actually change it. There are animals that are living hundreds of years, and there are animals that do not age at all. And some of them are mammals. This has been discovered in 2006, and this is the work that has been backed by daughter company of Google, by Calica. I mean, we have lots of mammals, not one, but lots of mammals that do not show signs of aging for a very long time. If those guys can do that, we can do it too. And that's the inspiration for our work.
I'm curious, how did you first become interested in this topic? What triggered your research?
Well, since my childhood, I was interested in biology. I went to physics school because I was told that there are physicists that turned out to biologists, and there are a few biologists that turned back to physics. So I got some advice, and I was studying physics. But I was always interested in what is called big problems in science. To my taste, aging is one of those biggest problems. I think space and immortality are the most ancient dreams of humankind. I think for the last 10,000 years, people are thinking about stars and people are thinking about transcending mortality. So these problems are big enough. And for me, the turning point was this non-aging species. I mean, when I was a kid, I knew that certain primitive creatures do not age. And I didn't care because in biology, you can always find exotic examples of whatever. But since we now see bats, naked mole rats, certain whales, sharks, almost everywhere where we are looking at, we find examples of animals that almost do not age. This is called negligible senescence. And as a physicist, I got interested in this problem because in physics, complex systems sometimes demonstrate this, what is called emergent phenomena. Like you have resistance in metals, and then under certain conditions, the resistance goes away entirely. Mm. I started thinking that maybe aging is one of those things that can be switched off entirely. Maybe those lucky animals that presumably do not age are just those examples of regulatory networks in nature where aging disappears, like can be switched on and off by evolution. And that was our idea. I got into this area in 2015. That was my first publication on aging. And we started unraveling this puzzle. So I believe that, yes, nature can switch on and off aging. It does it in ways that physics like to look at. This is a good complex systems, dynamic systems theory applied to biology with the highest impact that you can plausibly make.
I love that metaphor of a switch that you could be able to turn on and off. And also those examples you raise of other animals that actually do have significantly longer lifespans and who don't seem to age. Now, if your research is successful, one question that comes to my mind is what is going to be the quality of life? I mean, it's one thing to say that you're extending the human lifespan. It's quite another to say that you're going to have the health and strength of, say, a 20 or 30 year old.
Yeah, that's a wonderful question, and it is a worrying question for many. With the examples of those individuals that have very long lives, like 100 years plus, in many cases, the quality of life is miserable. And this is not an academic question because, as you know, people are living longer, and we have also a very dramatic drop in birth rates in civilized world, especially, which means that we are entering a situation where people are getting older, they have more and more diseases, and we don't have enough young people to support those that increasing number of young of older individuals. In some countries, there are more people aged over 65 than people aged below 16 right now. This is a very new situation. So if we don't extend healthy life, if we just extend long life, it will be a humanitarian catastrophe backed up by economical catastrophe, right? I mean, our financial systems, pension systems, Medicare simply would not work in a situation where there are more sick than healthy people. So that's why the goal of our science is to demonstrate that you can extend healthy life. If you look at those animals that do not age, these animals are not only living longer, they reproduce till the end of their life. And they can withstand much higher levels of stresses. It's like it's much harder to kill their cells with radiation, with reactive oxygen species, everything. So it looks like in nature, long life and healthy life and stress resistance are going along. Or there is a possibility to have them going along. That's our goal. We are looking for ways to stop aging in such a way that your resistance, your ability to cope with stresses and risks of diseases will stay constant at a level of, let's say, 40 to 50 years old individuals.
That's really interesting. Now, I'm also wondering, we normally think of health and aging as being biological issues. Maybe chemists have a role to play as well, particularly when you're looking at medicine. But you're a physicist, and you ground your work in that of two famous Soviet scientists, Lev Landau, who won a Nobel Prize, and Evgeny Lifshitz. Together, they published a 10-volume series on theoretical physics. How are you applying their work to aging? Can you give us an example that maybe those of us who are not physicists can understand?
Well, thank you for this question, because it's very interesting. We are dealing with very complex systems, and physics is a science that famous. Deals with complex systems. There is a lot of experience in physics on how complex systems behave. What was observed by people, including by Landau with his Ginzburg-Landau theory of phase transitions, that complex systems often exhibit what is called universal behavior. It's like, you know, in physics in school, you have seen examples like you can apply the same equations to electric networks or to mechanical systems, right? So there is this surprising applicability of mathematics to different realms of physics, and living systems are just another example of complex systems which you can approach with the same toolkit. So for example, we know that if you look at ecology economics, like market crashes, for example, you see that right before the crash, many features get correlated and the system becomes slow, right? This is kind of early warning signs. The same happens in human health. When people are about to fail, different hallmarks of aging get correlated. Response to drugs and interventions become slow and the system disintegrates. So in many cases, you can see these universal features. And when you see these universal features, you can bring experience, gather it in other fields of sciences, to medicine. And physics is a very good medium to do that, because physics combines very strict mathematics. Physics knows how to work with numbers. Physics has a very good culture of modeling. So you can fit the data, model the data, apply mathematical models, and bring intuition from other fields. So that's what we are doing. We are essentially taking the course of good physics and apply this cookbook of different examples of problem solving. To the problem of aging, because aging is the slowest process that kills us. And physics knows that the slowest processes in large systems are universal, and you can apply trusted techniques to describe this phenomenon and solve these problems.
You gave a speech last year at the Longevity Summit in Dublin, and you shared an example, a parallel to astronomy, that really stood out for me. You know that when astronomers plot a planet's path around the star, they're really calculating or inferring a trajectory of a future state based on the current one. And you said that when you study aging, you're essentially doing the same thing, charting data over time.
Yes, aging is a change over time, right? With unpleasant consequences. So that's why aging organism is an example of a dynamic system. And in order to intervene against aging, we need to understand how, what are the laws that generate the related changes in the human body. So we need to find a way to look at aging organisms as examples of dynamic systems, and we need to establish the laws of motion, the equation of motions that govern the age-related changes. So we are kind of recreating the path that was done by astronomers 300 years ago, but now we apply it to the medical data. With the help of machine learning, what is called now artificial intelligence, there's massive amounts of human data. Now humans are the best studied animals on Earth. We have hundreds of millions of electronic medical records digitalized, ready for our studies. It's like those Tycho Brahe tables of planet motion, but now available for the analysis. What we do is that really we take the medical record today, we take the medical record in a few years' time for the same individual, and we are trying to generate equations that are connecting one state of health to the other state of health. And if we can do that in such a way that we can predict the future trajectory of health for this individual, then we know how health state is changing over time. And if we correlate these model predictions with molecular and genetic information, we can find the molecular and genetic targets that are responsible for different rate parameters of those equations, and that's how we can control human health. That's what we do. We try to learn how people age and develop diseases, and then we try to learn which are the genetic and molecular factors that are controlling the rates. If you know the rates, you know the future. If you can reduce the rates, you can make people live for a very long time.
So you said you published your first research on this back in 2015, and you also just mentioned machine learning. Your website is called Gero, that's GERO.AI. You've also created an AI based on ChatGPT. It's called Fedachev GPT. It's after your name, and it draws on your interviews and your writing. So I'm curious, just how are you using AI in your research, and what impact is it having?
Well, we use a combination of modeling and AI, right? So artificial intelligence is artificial intelligence, but it's not still that level of intelligence that is required to solve the problem of aging. As I said, we are dealing with hundreds of millions of electronic medical records. That's a lot of work to actually look at. We use AI in order to clean the data and prepare the data for the analysis. And then we use physics-guided models that are using the clean data in order to generate those trajectories. So we have this example of convergence of different technologies, that physics was always there, but there was no data. Now we have lots of data, like hundreds of millions of electronic medical records. Tens of millions of people are genotyped, so we have lots of data. But now we also have AI, so we have lots of software and trained engineers to actually bundle this all together, identify trajectories, measure the rates of age-related changes, see which genetic factors are controlling the rates of those changes. And if you can control the rates, you can make people live longer.
Fascinating. You know, in one of your speeches, you point out that a human's chances of dying doubles every 8 years. That's not the case with every animal. You pointed to a rodent in East Africa. It's called the naked mole rat. In fact, you alluded to it a bit earlier in this interview. And scientists often study it to help us understand cancer and aging. It seems that unlike humans, their mortality rate remains constant when they age. So, I mean, you're not the only person who's studying aging. How does your research differ from others? And how much progress are you making?
Right. Thanks again for bringing this example, because the theory that we're developing, and this is good old physics style theory, is telling, as I said, that aging can be switched on and off. And in physics, if a theory tells you that aging can be switched off, this is sufficient reason to try to do that. So fortunately, in nature, we have examples of animals where aging is switched off, right? So we're in a very good shape here. We have both the theory that tells you that you can do that. And we have examples, multiple examples, how aging can be switched off. Sure. So what makes us different is this. So people are studying naked mole rats and other animals in order to understand why don't they age. Instead, we are studying humans, and we are trying to understand what we are missing to make us as those animals, right? Because what we want to do, we don't want to learn a lot more about those lucky animals. We want to know what humans are missing in order to live longer. Just think about that. Humans are very successful agers. We are living for a very long time. People can have no age-related diseases for 50 years and more, 50, 60 years. That's a lot, by the way. It's a lot more than you can expect from typical animals of our size, by the way. So that poses a very interesting problem. If you learn what works in animals and try to bring it to humans with interventions, sometimes it doesn't work because we have it already in our genome for free. As I said, we are living for a very long life already. So that's why I believe it's far more important to study humans, see what is already implemented, and try to see what we're missing, what has to be tweaked a little bit in such a way that we can live much longer. We are focusing on humans. We are trying to understand what is the deficit, what we're missing in comparison to those very long-lived animals. And we see that we're not missing that much.
On that note, your company recently secured $18.5 million in funding and signed a research collaboration agreement with the pharmaceutical Pfizer. I know you got access to a big data set through that. How exactly are you partnering with them, and are you working on anything specific in terms of therapies or drugs with them?
That's right. So pharma industry understands that age is the most important risk factor of almost any disease. And also pharma understands that not all age-related changes are reversible. So that's why, in order to find better drugs against chronic diseases, we have to understand what is actionable or what is not, I mean, what would respond to treatments and what would not. So we work with them on a specific disease. It's public. It's in our press release. We are working on fibrotic disease with them. We are trying to understand what part of those diseases is reversible aging and what part of those those disease-dependent changes are possibly reversible with drugs. And we are suggesting them novel targets for future medicines that are backed up with human evidence. Because remember, we have access to lots of human data. We see how fibrotic diseases are developing over time. We see that certain people have high risk of fibrotic diseases but don't develop them. We can find genetic factors that are protecting people from fibrosis, for example. And these are the targets that we are suggesting to them for future interventions. We are deconvoluting diseases into aging and diseases. We help them understand what is reversible or not. And we are suggesting them the best targets that have human evidence and lots of data.
And your collaboration with Pfizer gives you access to more than 10 million electronic medical records. So, I mean, that's a great data set to be able to work with, particularly with your artificial intelligence, with machine learning, to scroll through it and look for the data that you need. I'm just curious, how far out are you, do you think, from a solution? I mean, your goal is to hack aging. Are we going to see it in our lifetime? Are we going to see it in the next 5 years?
Oh, sure. Also, it's not related to Pfizer. Obviously, we're doing biology on our own. So we have validated a number of targets in experiments. I mean, the targets were predicted from human data, but then we're bringing them into aged animals, even mice, and we see how our predictions work in the lab. We validated a few targets in experiments in mice. We have created mRNA vaccine against one of those targets, which means that maybe, I mean, if everything is correct and if we secure, I mean, if we are lucky, if the biology works, I mean, it works already, but I mean, if this translates to humans in the way we believe it should, we may have a vaccine against aging around the corner. So that's our leading project, and that's what we believe will help a lot of people.
A vaccine against aging. I've never heard that. That is, I hope that expression becomes headlines. Vaccine against aging invented.
Yeah, I mean, for marketing purposes. But I mean, it's not only that, because,
of course,
as I said, there is this convergence of technologies right now. We are living in the best of times that many technologies are converging at the same time. We have discussed physics and the data. We discussed machine learning. But also, if you think about therapeutics, we have now these wonderful examples of mRNA vaccines. After COVID, when more than 1 billion people got mRNA vaccines against a disease, we're now living, once again, in a good time where similar technological solutions can be used in order to quickly produce therapeutics against novel biological targets. So that's how our machine learning quickly jumps into therapeutics. The machine learning is predicting targets for interventions. We produced mRNA vaccines that were shooting very quickly to animals just to see that our predictions work. And if they work, they can be immediately translated into human therapeutics. So that's what we are doing. We compute, predict, test, and develop therapeutics once our predictions are confirmed.
Fantastic. Well, this is a show primarily for investors, and we know that your company is not publicly listed, but there might still be some investment opportunities. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, there are always investment opportunities here. I think if I talk to the investors, then the proposal is this. Look, solving aging is the largest opportunity in the healthcare. With Ozempic, we know that if you just approach obesity, you create $50 billion market. Longevity is much larger than that. There are very few teams in the world that are thinking about longevity in a radical way. We do research, and we have a reputation in the field for the research that is aiming at strong life extension in humans. We are not thinking about 10% lifespan extension. We generate our hypothesis from lots of human data. We work with the largest pharma companies already. There will be more announcements about that too. We use the best stack of technologies from machine learning to mRNA vaccines to achieve our goals. And we have very balanced business model. We have very hardcore research on aging in general, and we interface with pharma and specific disease. I think this together makes us into a company that can solve not only aging, but also a few diseases in collaboration with pharma and ourselves, and earn a lot of money in the process. Save the world and earn a lot of money in the process. Yes, there are investment opportunities, obviously. We are constantly fundraising. We are inviting everyone interested to talk to us. Because as I said, there is another guy who is doing space, and we are doing longevity and immortality for you.
Okay, so if someone just heard that and says, hey, I want to invest, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, Giro.ai, we are searchable LinkedIn, Twitter, website, everywhere, and we are ready to talk.
All right, really fascinating. I mean, pharmaceutical companies tackle specific diseases. Their work may extend the human lifespan by a few years, perhaps more. But your work has a scope that is significantly greater and could really alter the way that we see ourselves. So I appreciate you taking the time to walk us through it. I know it can be quite technical, and you took the time to help us understand it in a way that is really accessible. So I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
We've been speaking with Giro founder and CEO Peter Fedichev, and you've been watching Global One Media's Stocks to Watch. I'm Michael Suido.